I'd like this afternoon to share a subject with you. It's four words: high and lifted up.
Yes.
And where do we find that in the scripture? I'd like to go to Isaiah 6 and 1. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple."
Yes.
High and lifted up is how I saw the Lord to be. I was singing this week of a song, I believe Robert and Julie have sung it, and the message is this: we need to tell our problem how big our God is.
Amen.
Now that's quite a way to word it, because usually we have it turned around the other way. I want to tell God how big my problem is. But you know what? what that means is, to me, when I look at my problem and I see God high and lifted up, I see that problem to be small compared to God. This one says, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." And there was something that happened when he saw the Lord that way. It caused him to see how small he was. In fact, he said, "Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips." Well, I don't think that means that when we see the Lord, we say, "You know what, I've got all kinds of sins in my life. I'm not clean. I see him." But you know what, I think what we do need to do when we see him high and lifted up is I need to remember that scripture that Jesus said, "Without me, ye can do nothing."
Yes.
I am needy before the Lord. And the more I see him high and lifted up, the more I realize, you know what, in myself, I'm nothing.
Amen.
I need him. Coming into the presence of the Lord, what do we see? I was thinking of the verse over in Hebrews 4 and 16. Remember it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace."
Amen.
Now, what does that boldly mean? You know, this caused when Isaiah saw the Lord, it put a fear in him. He said, "Woe is me." Well, this also tells us here, though, that we can come boldly to the throne. I was thinking of boldly. It's the privilege that we have, that God gives us, to bring everything to him. It doesn't mean that boldly I can come to him as an equal. No. I want to see him high and lifted up. And how he made us. You know, humility is a valuable thing. And it's pretty easy for me to be humbled when I realize where I came from. From dust thou art, and back to dust you're headed. But he gives us the opportunity to be able to come to him high and lifted up. What does it do to us when we see him that way? I want to go to a verse. You know, when Revelations first started out, this is John. This is one of the disciples. So he knew Jesus. You know, he had been well acquainted with him. In fact, he was considered the beloved disciple, apostle. And in this one, he says in 1 and 10, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice." You know, he had a lot of visions come to him that he wrote down, and he sent them to us. But I was thinking of this one. You know, John knew who Jesus was.
Yes.
He had been with him. He had worked with him, been together with him. Well, you know what? It comes on down in this vision in the 13th verse. It says that "I saw in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like to the Son of Man." You know what he's seeing? He's seeing Jesus all over again. And what was his response? Did he say, "Oh, Jesus, I'm so glad you have come to visit with me, because I have been lonely on this island"? What does he say? 17th verse. "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." What was the difference in Jesus today there than when it was when they were walking down the dusty roads together, traveling around. It made me think of something. Now he's seeing the glorified Christ.
Yes.
And it caused him to fall down at his feet as dead. You remember the places where in John, let's look at this, what made the change in Jesus? Because you know what? It's real easy for me to think of Jesus today as kind of like he was while he was on earth, but now he's in heaven. Let's look at it a little bit. John, in the 7th chapter, and in the 39th verse, it says, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Do you remember his prayer over in the 17th chapter of John, his prayer to his Father? It says on this one, where he was not yet glorified, it said he had not yet ascended to heaven to the glory and honor that was awaiting him. You know what? He knew what it was because he had left it when he came down to be a human here and die for us. 17th chapter, and in the 4th verse, he's praying to his Father. And can you imagine, he knew what it was like to be in heaven with his Father?
Yes.
Before. He has come down here and met so much rejection, trying to convince people that he was the Son of God and getting very little response from it. He says in this, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I've finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." You know, if I could just get a picture in my mind of the change that came to Jesus, he wasn't the man walking and needing his feet washed because it's so dusty, walking the dirt roads. That was all put behind him when he died on the cross, and then he was glorified again. What that must have been, it was so different that John didn't see him as an equal. We're traveling around here together, we're working together. He fell at his feet as if he were dead. And there are some places where throughout the Bible, it tells me to get a little glimpse, a little picture of the majesty that is up there. In the 1st chapter of Revelations, it gives us a couple in 1 and 6. "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." And then in 7, here, this is what we're going to see one day. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him." This is who we will see Jesus again to be. And John now saw Jesus in his glorified state. You know, Jesus was in the Sermon on the Mount. He talked to them about the Lord's Prayer. And how did he tell them, here's the way for you to start your prayer? "Our Father which art in heaven." And then he put a little word in there, "Hallowed be your name."
Yes.
Need to have some reverence. Says he's treated as something sacred. "Hallowed be thy name." And then what does it do? It goes down at the end of that prayer. When you're closing this prayer out, here's what you need to be saying. "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." If we could just realize what happened when Jesus went back to heaven again, and he's there today. Now, Stephen, when he was being stoned, he was able to look up there, and what did he say? He saw Jesus standing at the throne, not sitting, but concerned. And you know, we read so many places where he's not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He cares about what we are going through. And I think of this life, this period that he gave as a human, he was in all points tempted, just like we are, and yet without sin. He was able to show us the example to be able to live, and then he went back to heaven. I'd like to look at a place in Philippians. This exalted Christ, Philippians, the second chapter, and in the fifth verse, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You know what? He was there right alongside his Father.
Yes.
And then he says, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form, he left the form of God, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now look what happened. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess. What a change that is now from what it was when Jesus were here. And there's another verse over in Hebrews 1. Because what I wanted to do is just start looking through the scriptures and find the places that talk about Jesus being exalted, God being exalted. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You know, we see places where we realize, wait a minute, Jesus' beginning was not at the manger. He was with him when all of the worlds were made. And it says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. You know, I think of what it must have been as he's trying to convince the Jews. He came to his own received him not. Trying to convince them, I've come to help you out. When he looked over Jerusalem and he wept, I had something for you. If you had only known the peace that was for you, but now it's gone. Tried to convince it looks like the chief priests, those who knew scripture the best, would have been able to recognize him, and they didn't. And that's why, to me, when I see those verses where he says, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. What a price tag he paid for finishing the work. But he had in mind, and where is it, and who for the joy set before him? Hebrews 12. You know, I think in all those things, he had a vision. This isn't over. I'm going to lose my life here. But I'm going to go back to the Father. It says, wherefore, 12:1 of Hebrews, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That's where we need to focus our eyes. Mm-hmm. How he spent his time while he was there and knowing who he is today. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross,
yes,
despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a change came about for Jesus when he was taken back up.
Yes.
And then I see some other places, just a little snapshot of what it must be. And one of those is in Revelations, the 4th chapter. I know whenever we have Revelation studies, this is saying, this one is the throne scene. This is letting us get just a little glimpse into heaven. And the 4th chapter, when we finish up right toward the end, it says, 8th verse, the four beasts had of them 6 wings about him. full of eyes within. They rest not day and night. And what's the message they're saying? Holy, 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 day and night. They rest not day and night. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come.
Yes.
And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. See, I think it's real important for us. We have a mental library that we store things in. When we look at this little song about I need to tell my trouble how big God is, what that is, I've got compartments in my mind that I store things. I can have the biggest compartment to be my troubles that I'm in. It's even bigger than my thoughts about how God can take care of them. Or I can build a compartment in my mind by God's help. Amen. To where I can tell my trouble how big God is.
Yes.
We're living in some desperate times today. If you could have said to us, if people could have told us 10 years ago that we would be in the lifestyles that we're in today,
yes,
to where they are trying to be able to take children in school and make transgender changes without the parents knowing about it, we would have said that'll never happen.
That's true.
But here's where we are. And so now what am I going to do? I've got a mind that if I listen to the news and I start storing it away, it can get bigger and bigger. The troubles that our world is in and what the future holds for it. Or right along beside those troubles, I can even diminish that compartment by filling up this other one. That, what does it say here? It was talking about forever and ever. You know what? That has no end right there. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I would like to go even more through the scripture and find the places that magnify God. And this one does through the throne scene. And it says, which was and is to come. That means throughout whatever else may happen in our world around us that could go worse and worse, God still covers it.
Yes.
He still can take care of us. He can still take us through it. And it says, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. And what did they do? Maybe they had a little something that they had been able to do worthwhile for the Lord here on earth. But it said they cast their crowns,
yes,
before the Lord, saying, and look at this verse, the 11th verse. This is what I'd like to build in my mental library. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Yes.
To be able to have those verses come up to me, that you know what, no matter what's happening today,
yes,
in my life, whatever happens tomorrow in the world around us, Lord, you're worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And then I go over into the 5th chapter. It tells us a little something about Jesus. Because in it says 5 and 7, he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And it says in the 9th verse, they sang a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book. So this is, I was reading about it, and it says this is the book of Revelations that was going to be given, and for people to be able to understand it, he's able to open it up to their understanding. Thou art worthy to take it, open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God. And it goes on down, and I beheld, 11th verse, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. Number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength. It's almost like, can I come up with another word that I could add to describe Christ? Riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And it says, "And every creature which is in heaven and on earth, under the earth, such as in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him that sitteth up on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." You know, when I look at those things, it makes me realize, you know what? Jesus up there is not the same form as what I saw here. When he was rejected, when he was on trial, and the things that they did to him, the times when they spit on him, the times when they covered his face and slapped him and said, "Prophesy, tell us who it is." You know, it's hard to imagine the contrast of the glorified Christ today compared to what he was willing to go through for our salvation. I want to be able to look at that period of time of his life when he took on him the form of a servant. You know, when he was talking to him, as they were saying, the other disciples were saying, who's going to be the greatest? It's important for us to figure out who's going to be the greatest. And he said, the Son of Man didn't come to be served. He came to be a servant and give his life for many. It's instruction for us of what he was willing to do then. But then what I look at is what he's willing to do for us today. And I want to realize he is high and lifted up. He is much bigger than any problem that I will face, any problem that the world will put out in front of us. God is still bigger than that. And Christ right along beside him. But I was thinking of another. If we were to get a picture of heaven, if we were to think of the majesty of it, I think it's really great when I see Genesis 1, and it says, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light, without a sun, without a moon." That's some power. And it was light, and he separated the light from the darkness. He had darkness already. He spoke, and there was light. And he separated the two. And it was like day 2, and then day 3, and then maybe it was day 4, day 5. They said, "Okay, now let's put a sun up here, and we'll let it do its job." What a mighty God we serve. Yeah. But you know what? He gave us a little bit of instruction over in Revelations, giving us just a little bit of a picture. Is there going to be, we're going to need the sun over there. What, you got to do something for light over there. So Revelations 21 and 23, it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it." It's going to be just the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Well, that'd be something. The God that created it all, that created the sun and the moon, when this all wraps up, there'll be no need of sun to shine to give us daylight there. He is the giver of the light. Yes. I am very thankful for that. So then I look at, what could I do for the Lord? You know, Solomon did something for the Lord. Over in 1 Kings, he built him a house. 1 Kings 8. You know, when we get to looking, and Solomon was able to see this, when we get to looking at the majesty of God, and we think, how are we going to be able to put him in a box? Can you do it? 1 Kings 8 and 22. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, spread forth his hands toward heaven, and he said, "O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or earth beneath." And then he goes on down in the 27th verse. You know, he's fixing to give this temple, invite the Lord to come into it. And it says, "But will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and the heavens, heaven of heavens, cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? You remember, it was God that told Moses, I want you to build me a sanctuary because I would like to dwell right there with you. What I see from this is, you know, what can we build that he would even be willing to live in it when we see him high and lifted up? And yet he longs for it. Yeah. We sing that song number 99, My Body, Thy Temple, yes, Shall Forever Be. And that's the desire. And here again, Solomon is building something for the Lord, and he puts all of his effort into it. But he realizes when it's finished, he's got a picture of who God is. And he said, will he indeed dwell in something that I've made, something so small? How would God be able to dwell in it? Which makes me think of over in Isaiah. God even reminded us about that. In Isaiah 66 and 1, thus saith the Lord, heaven's my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you would build me?
Yes.
Where is the place of my rest? Is he saying, forget it. You don't have anything that I'd be willing to dwell in. You're down there and I'm up here and I am so great. But look at this. He reminds us, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, saith the Lord. And you know what? He could have stopped that verse right there. Now quit trying to find me a place to come down here and dwell among you, because I've made everything already. But look, he didn't stop there, and I'm glad he didn't. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. You know, what I want to be able to do is in my life, I want to see him high and lifted up. You know, we're living in a world around us today that many don't believe there is a God and don't give him any credit for having some laws that we should be following. But you know what? I don't need to let that affect me. I want to be able to see him high and lifted up. I want to see him with all the words that they were trying to put in there to describe him, the majesty, the power, he's lost none of his power today. We're living in a time of mercy. You know, over there in 2 Peter 3, where it's saying the day of the Lord will come, there's some scoffers that are going to say, since the world began, this thing's just continued just like it is. You know, that very verse itself ought to tell us about this majesty of God.
Yes.
They said it themselves, maybe without even realizing it. God set it in motion, and it has continued on. We ought to be thanking God for that. But instead, they were taking it as it's not going to stop. But he said, you know what? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
Yes.
And why has it not? It's because of his mercy.
Yes.
Not willing that any would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come. And I have noticed, like Sister Maxine mentioned, I'm hearing several ministers on our website saying, you know what? The Lord has dealt with me this week about being ready. The day of the Lord is going to come. Sister Angela Gillenbex was, Jesus has been talking to me. Jesus is coming soon. Well, you know what? We don't go out and sell my house and just read my Bible. We're going to continue living life every day. But you know what? I need to build another compartment up in my memory. Because real easy, if we're not careful, it says that some of the things that can cause us to be unawares when he come is the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life.
Yes.
Cause us to get distracted and it be like I'm going to live tomorrow and the next day and the next day. The 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. You know, the way I read that, all 10 of them would have made it if he had come sooner.
That's true.
They all had a fire. They all had a flame. But time went by and 5 of them, it went out. So for me today, I need this compartment to where I see God high and lifted up.
Yes.
He has lost none of his power today. We're just living in a time of mercy where he's holding back. You know, he showed that mercy to Abraham When Abraham said, if you just find 50, would you spare the city? Yep, I'll spare it. All the way down to, Lord, one more time. If you could find 10 people, would you spare the city? Yes, I'll spare it. To me, that's just telling us another little picture of who God is. He is a God of mercy, and it's extending to us today. But it will run out sometime. But you know what? If I have lived my life with the compartments in the right arrangement, God is high and lifted up. I need to have one that tells me, but the end is coming.
Yes.
Let your life be gauged by that. My thoughts themselves, the choices that I make, the places that I go. Lord, I wouldn't want to have this on me if you were to come tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know what? That comes down into places. We don't have to talk about sin. We can talk about, you know what? Sister Gertrude has been mentioned since she's been here, her requests, pray for me, soul, mind, and body. You know, we probably all need to be praying more for our mind, because that's where it all starts. That's where it all begins, is in the mind. When Jesus tells us, if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. You know, I need to store that just real close to the front of my mind. When someone does me wrong, and I've got this other compartment that says Jesus is coming soon. Now, how long do I want to hold this thing?
Yes.
Let me get rid of it quick, because I don't want it to be. And at the same time, this is not something that God is waiting to chop us off. I can't wait for you to mess up, and I'm going to chop you off, and I'm going to come back, and you're going to miss it. You know what he wants to do is he wants us all to be ready.
Yes.
That's why he's not willing that any would perish. But I was thinking of it. I can say, okay, I don't have any sin in my life, but I can have somebody do me wrong, and, you know, something can start trying to raise up a little bit. Maybe I don't even say anything, but I'm thinking it. And I think the Lord wants to temper even those areas of our life. When something does happen, that I'll be able to quickly say, this compartment says, Dan, Jesus is coming again soon. Now, what you're going to do with this? You're going to forgive, or you're not going to be forgiven? Quickly say, Lord, I let this thing go.
Yeah.
I give it to you because I want to be ready. One day, you know, when we look back at trying to get a picture of who God is, these scriptures that I have studied this week have made me realize, you know what, Jesus up there is a lot different than the Jesus that was down here. As far as he's no longer being run over, he is being exalted. It says he exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name. He's back where he belongs again. And I want to be able to meet him one day. I want to go to one more verse in Psalms 138. Because you know where he says, where's the house that you would build me? Heaven's my throne. The earth is my footstool. Now what you going to do for me? Look at this verse, Psalms 138 and 6. Though the Lord be high. You know, they could stop there. The Lord is high. Now who are you to come to me? Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect to the lowly. You know, that's an amazing concept. We have read all these scriptures that are exalting God to a very high level. And then he says, let me tell you who I will go with. You would think he would be saying, I tell you what, I'm picking the best. I'm picking the most intelligent. I'm picking the wealthiest. But he says, to this man will I look, to him that trembles at my word, to him that has an humble and a contrite spirit. I want him to be high and lifted up in my life. It needs to start in my mind. When Satan comes to you, remember when Nebuchadnezzar went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he told them what he was going to do to them, and he said, and who is that God that's going to be able to deliver you? You know what? He didn't have a clue. I believe they had in their mind who God was. They were willing to, they didn't say, well, I'll tell you what, this high and lifted up one, he's going to do this way for me. No, but what they did say is, guaranteed, we're going to be delivered today from you.
Amen.
And they were delivered. You know, we got a lot of troubles coming our way. But let's just realize, you know what? God is high and lifted up. And let's keep him that way. It begins by faith. But you know what? Our troubles can get bigger and bigger to where I wake up in the middle of the night and that's all I think of. But may I start trying that song? I'm going to tell my trouble how big my God is. He is well able to take care of anything we go through. I desire your prayers. Amen.